Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Radio Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso. Obstruction of justice charges have been filed against former President Donald Trump and an associate. Trump is accused of ordering his staff to destroy video surveillance tapes sought by the Department of Justice as evidence in the classified documents case. We'll have a special report on these new charges on our show today. Topping our local news, hundreds of East County residents turned out at a county meeting in Rancho San Diego to voice opposition to a proposed Cottonwood sand mine after a revised EIR was issued. But critics say the revisions don't adequately address serious impacts of the project. Learn more and how you can make your voice heard before the comment deadline on our show today. On our Crime Beat report, hear about a suspect wanted for a deadly assault in Lemon Grove and about an assault on a rabbi near San Diego State that police are investigating as a hate crime. La Mesa's City Council is considering options to expand its library. After hearing several proposals, the council members agreed to move forward and we'll have details. Covered California premiums are going up, but there are new health care subsidies for low-income residents, as we'll report on today. Eric Prince, the former CEO of Blackwater, has been indicted in Austria on arms smuggling charges. Blackwater once sought to build a paramilitary training facility in Potrero, right here in San Diego's East County, where residents banded together to oppose that project. The county has announced closure of several parks in August due to high heat, and will also have some outdoor recreation safety tips for you amid sizzling summer temperatures. Community colleges are starting to offer four-year degrees, as you'll learn more about in a report today from California News Service. On the second half of our show, on 2023 Talks from Public News Service, we'll have some national news stories, including Vice President Harris speaking out on civil rights concerns, a military spending bill stalled by Republicans over leaves granted to women soldiers traveling to get abortions, a Buy America effort, a bill targeting librarians with criminal penalties that a judge has blocked, and the growing impacts of climate change. San Diego County's tax assessor says his office has over $500,000 in unclaimed money. We'll tell you how to check and see if any of it is yours and how to get it back on our show today. From California News Service, we'll have a report on climate change book clubs and conversation groups that are springing up. Then on Destination East County, hear about events coming up on these hot August nights, plus some sizzling September shows. If you're sweltering in these hot temperatures, find out where to find cool zones. And we'll have a report on efforts to recruit more young people for firefighting jobs. On Ready, Set, Grow, finally, Master Gardener Connie Beck will share her tips on how to mulch to help nourish and protect your plants on these hot summer days. So stay tuned for today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show, where East County matters.
Special Prosecutor Jack Smith has issued an updated indictment in the classified documents case against former President Donald Trump. It adds new charges alleging that Trump ordered a staffer to delete surveillance video at his Mar-a-Lago estate to cover up evidence of crimes after Trump learned that the U.S. Department of Justice was seeking the video during its investigation. The revised indictment also charges a new defendant, Carlos De Oliveira, the head of maintenance at Mar-a-Lago. Prosecutors allege that Trump spoke with De Oliveira and with Trump's valet, Walt Nada, and that two employees then told a third employee to delete the security footage because the boss wanted the videos destroyed. However, the third employee reportedly balked at destroying evidence and has not been charged. He may be a cooperating witness. The indictment charges Trump, Nada, and De Oliveira with violating two federal laws in an attempt to destroy evidence, which suggests the video was not destroyed and may be shown to jurors. Those statutes make it illegal to corruptly destroy or tamper with a record to impair its use in an official proceeding, and to corruptly try and persuade someone else to alter or destroy evidence. De Oliveira is also charged with lying to the FBI when he previously claimed to know nothing about boxes delivered to Mar-a-Lago from the White House. But prosecutors accuse him of personally observing and helping to move these boxes. Trump reportedly also called De Oliveira and offered to get a lawyer for him. Trump faces a total of 40 charges in this documents case. Currently a candidate for the presidency, he has also called the charges harassment and election interference. The latter is ironic, given the federal and state grand juries are investigating allegations that Trump spearheaded election interference efforts. By contrast, 62 judges, including some appointed by Trump, found no evidence of any stolen election or election interference on behalf of Joe Biden, the winner of the 2020 election. If Trump is shown to have ordered destruction of evidence, the case would bear a remarkable similarity to Watergate, when President Richard Nixon was forced to resign after revelations that he ordered incriminating audio tapes destroyed. Nixon was later pardoned by his successor, President Gerald Ford. Trump, if convicted, could be less fortunate, facing potentially decades in prison on the federal charges in this case alone. His legal strategy appears to be delaying tactics in hope of postponing the trial until after the 2024 presidential election, in hopes that he or another Republican candidate wins office and would be willing to pardon Trump. Trump also faces federal charges in New York over alleged hush money payments to an adult film star and may soon be indicted by federal prosecutors in Washington, D.C. related to the January 6th insurrection and a false elector scheme that involved multiple states. In addition, a Fulton County, Georgia prosecutor is reportedly ready to charge Trump on state charges of election interference for pressuring election officials to corruptly change votes. Barricades have gone up in front of the Georgia courthouse, where an indictment is expected soon. If Trump is convicted in Georgia, he would not be eligible for a pardon federally for those state crimes, nor does Georgia law allow its governor to issue pardons. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Jacob Pamis. Special Prosecutor Jack Smith has issued an updated indictment in the classified documents case against former President Donald Trump. It adds new charges alleging that Trump ordered a staffer to delete surveillance video at his Mar-a-Lago estate to cover up evidence of crimes after Trump learned that the U.S. Department of Justice was seeking the video during its investigation. The revised indictment also charges a new defendant, Carlos De Oliveira, the head of maintenance at Mar-a-Lago. Prosecutors allege that Trump spoke with De Oliveira and with Trump's valet, Walt Nada, and that two employees then told a third employee to delete the security footage because the boss wanted the videos destroyed. However, the third employee reportedly balked at destroying evidence and has not been charged. He may be a cooperating witness. The indictment charges Trump, Nauta, and De Oliveira with violating two federal laws in an attempt to destroy evidence, which suggests the video was not destroyed and may be shown to jurors. Those statutes make it illegal to corruptly destroy or tamper with a record to impair its use in an official proceeding, and to corruptly try and persuade someone else to alter or destroy evidence. De Oliveira is also charged with lying to the FBI when he previously claimed to know nothing about boxes delivered to Mar-a-Lago from the White House. But prosecutors accuse him of personally observing and helping to move these boxes. Trump reportedly also called De Oliveira and offered to get a lawyer for him. Trump faces a total of 40 charges in this documents case. Currently a candidate for the presidency, he has also called the charges harassment and election interference. The latter is ironic, given the federal and state grand juries are investigating allegations that Trump spearheaded election interference efforts. By contrast, 62 judges, including some appointed by Trump, found no evidence of any stolen election or election interference on behalf of Joe Biden, the winner of the 2020 election. If Trump is shown to have ordered destruction of evidence, the case would bear a remarkable similarity to Watergate, when President Richard Nixon was forced to resign after revelations that he ordered incriminating audio tapes destroyed. Nixon was later pardoned by his successor, President Gerald Ford. Trump, if convicted, could be less fortunate, facing potentially decades in prison on the federal charges in this case alone. His legal strategy appears to be delaying tactics in hope of postponing the trial until after the 2024 presidential election, in hopes that he or another Republican candidate wins office and would be willing to pardon Trump. Trump also faces federal charges in New York over alleged hush money payments to an adult film star and may soon be indicted by federal prosecutors in Washington, D.C. related to the January 6th insurrection and a false elector scheme that involved multiple states. In addition, a Fulton County, Georgia prosecutor is reportedly ready to charge Trump on state charges of election interference for pressuring election officials to corruptly change votes. Barricades have gone up in front of the Georgia courthouse, where an indictment is expected soon. If Trump is convicted in Georgia, he would not be eligible for a pardon federally for those state crimes, nor does Georgia law allow its governor to issue pardons. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Jacob Pamis.
This is East County Magazine's Crime Beat. On the streets, reporting on crimes impacting communities across our region, helping to keep you safe and informed.
This is Derek Wilton with a Crime Beat report. The Sheriff's Department seeks public help to locate Daniel Etheridge, who is wanted in connection with the homicide in Lemon Grove. On the night of March 18th, deputies from the Lemon Grove Sheriff's Department responded to a report of a shooting. They found 39-year-old Gregory Moore unconscious in a car at the intersection of Lemon Grove Avenue and San Miguel Avenue. He was later pronounced dead. Homicide investigators have identified Etheridge as a suspect. He has an active arrest warrant for homicide and is believed to be associated with a local street gang. Etheridge has prior convictions for assault with a deadly weapon and shooting into an inhabited dwelling. According to Lieutenant Joseph Janjura with the Sheriff's Homicide Unit, he should be considered armed and dangerous. Etheridge is a 34-year-old black man, around 5 feet 9 inches tall and weighing 165 pounds, with black hair and brown eyes. Anyone with information is asked to call the Sheriff's Homicide Unit at 858-285-6330. You can also call the Crime Stoppers Anonymous tip line at 888-580-8477. Crime Stoppers is offering up to a $1,000 reward to anyone with information that leads to an arrest in this case. An Orthodox rabbi says he was attacked near San Diego State University on July 24th by a man who cursed Jews and Israel and tore the ceremonial fringes off the rabbi's garment. Rabbi Aharon Shapiro says this is a reflection of the hateful rhetoric spouted by some American political figures and celebrities. He told San Diego Jewish World, "A wise person once taught me that fish smell from the head on down," adding, "Unfortunately, we live in a country where our political leaders are not really friendly to Israel, and we have enough simmering anti-Israel and anti-Jewish rhetoric permeating America that people pick up on it and want their 5 seconds of fame." San Diego Police Lieutenant Adam Sharkey said that the SDPD stands united with our community against bigotry and aggressively investigates these types of incidents, which is being investigated as a hate crime. The Anti-Defamation League and the Jewish Federation of San Diego called the assault reprehensible and another indicator of the hatred that exists toward the Jewish community. The ADL called on local leaders to condemn the act of hate and thanked police for investigating the matter as a hate crime. Rabbi Shapiro, who is 65 years old, says he was followed into a 7-Eleven store on College Avenue by the suspect, who was shown on surveillance video. The suspect is a white man about 5'8 or 9, around 30 to 35 years old, with shoulder-length, curly brown hair. The man reportedly claimed Israel does not deserve to exist and that all Jews deserve to die. After a verbal altercation, the rabbi says he paid for some cans of soda when the man pulled off his tzitzis, or ceremonial fringes, then fled. Rabbi Shapiro typically prays at the Chabad house near San Diego State University, which has seen several incidents of people vandalizing its outdoor menorah. He told San Diego Jewish World that the congregation is protected by people with permits to carry concealed weapons. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Derek Wilton.
You are listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting from the desert to the sea.
17 years ago, La Mesa's aging library was torn down to make room for a new police station. The city promised at the time to build a 20,000 square foot new library. To serve library patrons in the meantime, a 10,000 square foot library was built as a temporary measure, but a funding deal with the county fell apart, so the temporary structure is still in use, much to the consternation of library patrons. 2 years ago, La Mesa created a library task force to decide what changes would be made to the county library in La Mesa. On July 25th, the La Mesa City Council considered three options after receiving the task force's recommendations. All three would result in a library with about 16,000 square feet, substantially larger than the existing library, but not as large as what the city originally envisioned building. The first option considered was a vertical expansion, adding a second story at a cost of around $7,200. The second option would be a horizontal expansion, converting the post office into additional library space. This is the least expensive option at just over $5,800. The third option would be a new building on a nearby vacant Civic Center lot at a cost of nearly $14,000, for which funds would need to be raised. Bob Dugan, a member of the Library Task Force, asked why option 2 was included in the presentation, since it would require agreement with the post office to move to a different location. But Mayor Mark Arapostathis noted that the post office has been moved in the past, and this is not an impossible task. Vice Mayor Colin Parent said that he favored either options 1 or 2 as the most realistic, but proposed a time limit for negotiations with the post office. The City Council unanimously voted to go forward with option 2, provided the U.S. Postal Service will agree to relocate its office. Reporting for East County Magazine from La Mesa, this is Jacob Pamis.
New healthcare subsidies for low-income families are expected to soften the impact of rising premiums. On Tuesday, Covered California announced that premiums will go up by an average of 9.6% in 2024. However, state and federal assistance will counteract the increase for most of the 1.6 million people enrolled in plans from the state marketplace. Jessica Altman with Covered California says a new state cost-sharing program is targeted to people who make about $34,000 a year for a single person and $70,000 for a family of four.
We will be completely eliminating deductibles for 650,000 enrollees. And some of those people will also see lower costs of generic drugs, of seeing your primary care doctor. So that will have a real impact.
People who are currently enrolled will be notified of premium changes and whether a different plan might help them qualify for more assistance. The higher rates this year are blamed on inflation, a labor shortage, an increase in healthcare usage after the pandemic, plus the rising cost of care and of prescription drugs. Altman says it pays to shop around on the marketplace at coveredca.com.
Comparing plans can really result in significant savings for consumers willing to consider making a switch. So all enrollees should at least consider seeing what's out there and if there's a better option for them and their family.
The open enrollment period for people to enroll in a new plan for 2024 runs from November 1st to the end of January. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
The name Eric Prince became familiar to many residents in San Diego's East County when Blackwater, the private military contracting firm he founded, sought to build a paramilitary training camp in Potrero 15 years ago. Breaking News Network reports that Austria has indicted Prince for alleged arms trafficking to Libya in violation of a United Nations arms embargo. At least one shipment of explosives reportedly went through Austria using an Austrian business. Prince is accused of organizing a covert military operation to supply Libyan warlord Khalifa Haftar with war equipment for rebellion against a government backed by the U.S. and the U.N. If convicted, Prince could face up to 5 years in prison. However, it is unclear whether or not he will be extradited to Austria. Prince holds residency in both the U.S. and Abu Dhabi. Prince has denied allegations of arms peddling to Libya. The local Potrero project drew massive opposition on environmental grounds, as well as the many controversies involving Blackwater. Prince was CEO and board chairman of Blackwater at the time. Activist San Diego, the parent organization which owns KNSJ, was among the many local groups protesting against Blackwater's proposed paramilitary base in rural East County. The Harris Fire in October 2007 displaced many residents, but that didn't stop them from showing up to vote and recall all 5 community planning group members who had voted for the project, which sparked national news headlines. The 2007 firestorm scorched Round Potrero Valley, where Blackwater planned to build a 200-person bunkhouse and ammunition dump in the Box Valley with only one exit. Blackwater ultimately dropped the plans for the Potrero facility in 2008, ostensibly due to noise mediation requirements, although those had not changed since the project's inception. Prince, a former Navy SEAL before founding Blackwater in 2009, is no stranger to controversy. 3 Blackwater guards were convicted in 2014 of manslaughter and another of murder in the massacre of civilians at Baghdad's Nisour Square in 2007. In March 2009, Prince resigned as Blackwater's CEO, but remained chairman of the board until the company's sale in late 2010. Blackwater's successor company, Academy, was accused of arms trafficking in 2012, which dates back to when Prince served as CEO and chairman. Then in 2020, the FBI investigated Prince for arms trafficking involving crop duster planes converted for military use. He moved to Abu Dhabi in the United Arab Emirates in 2010, where he was hired by the Crown Prince to organize foreign troops for the UAE and formed a new firm called Reflect Responses, or R2. He later trained Somalis in anti-piracy operations with UAE funding. Prince also leads a private equity firm, Frontier Resources Group, and until April 2021, he chaired Frontier Services Group Limited, which had various business dealings in Africa. Prince also drew controversy over revelations that he lied to the House Intelligence Committee in 2017 about his involvement in the Trump transition team. He was reportedly at a Trump Tower meeting that allegedly had back-channel communications with a representative of Russian President Vladimir Putin. A special counsel in 2018 found evidence contradicting Prince. In 2020, House Intelligence Committee Chair Adam Schiff sent a criminal referral to the Justice Department, which announced that it had opened an investigation into Prince's alleged perjury during his testimony. Politically well-connected, Prince is the sister of Betsy DeVos, former Secretary of Education under President Donald Trump. He has been a major donor to numerous Republican candidates and a Trump-aligned super PAC. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Derek Wilton.
5 San Diego County parks are closed in August, a safety measure taken each year because of the expected high temperatures. El Capitan Preserve in Lakeside, Hellhole Canyon Preserve in Valley Center, and Mount Gower County Preserve in Ramona will all be closed August 1st through 31st. In addition, Agua Caliente and Vallecito County Parks near the Anza Borrego Desert are closed all summer long and reopen Labor Day weekend. These closures also provide the Department of Parks and Rec staff an opportunity to conduct maintenance, including trail restoration. This work is done in the early morning or evening when it's cooler. There are more than 100 other parks in the county and preserves to explore during the month of August. Cool off at splash pads, on a lawn, or under the shade of decades-old oaks. You can go bird watching or enjoy summer movies in the park, which screen at dusk after it cools off in many local parks. If it's really hot, consider staying home, since many rescues occur on local trails and some hikers and mountain bikers have died in the recent extreme heat. Now, if you do go out for a hike, be smart. Here are some safety tips to consider. Let someone know where you will be and when you plan to return. Hike with others, never alone. Leave your dog at home for difficult hikes and in very hot weather. Even easy hikes may be too much for your dog when the air or ground are too hot. Take plenty of water to stay hydrated. Rangers recommend 1 liter, that's about a quart, for every 2 to 3 miles you plan to hike. Wear sunscreen, a hat, and sunglasses. Take breaks in the shade if possible. Bring a fully charged mobile phone with a map or GPS. Wear lightweight, light-colored, ventilated clothing. Bring along a warm jacket if you plan to stay out after dusk. Wear sturdy shoes with traction for slippery rocks. Follow all posted safety rules and watch out for snakes. Bring ample food, sunscreen to reapply, a flashlight, first aid kit, multipurpose tool, and a whistle in case you need help. Know your limitations. Choose trails that match your level of physical fitness and areas where you're not going to get lost. For more information on visiting county parks, you can visit sdparks.org. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery. A free press is the foundation of our democracy. You can support independent public media for our region by making a donation or a sustaining monthly pledge of any amount at www.knsj.org. We're your community radio station, KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso, serving the San Diego border region from the mountains to the sea. That's www.knsj.org.
California is rapidly expanding a program that allows students to pursue certain bachelor's degrees at their local community college. Right now, 27 schools offer or will soon offer a baccalaureate degree in career-oriented fields that are in high demand in the Golden State. A bill passed 2 years ago allows the state to approve up to 30 new degree programs per year. Dr. Constance Carroll is CEO of the California Community College Baccalaureate Association.
Most of the students who attend community colleges are what we call place-bound. They oftentimes head families, they're working. They cannot move from their local communities in search of studies elsewhere.
The programs are very cost-effective. 4 years of tuition for the baccalaureate study costs about $10,500, and many students save money by living at home. You can find a list of the schools and programs on the California Community Colleges website. Hayden Lampe earned an associate's degree from Feather River College in rural Quincy and plans to return to get her bachelor's degree in ecosystem restoration and applied fire management.
The approval of this program allows me to stay in this community that I love. Not to mention the degree itself is going to be so much more affordable than one from a traditional university. So if it wasn't for the availability of this degree, I likely would not have pursued higher education any further.
Dr. Aisha Lowe, an executive vice chancellor with the California Community Colleges, says accessibility is key.
Our students are predominantly low-income students, students of color, first-generation students. So having those opportunities for an affordable pathway and a local pathway to a baccalaureate degree that leads directly into a workforce outcome is so essential.
Current state law prohibits community college baccalaureate degrees from competing with degree programs offered at the University of California or Cal State schools. However, advocates would like to see exceptions made for fields like nursing or teaching that face a big labor shortage. Support for this reporting was provided by Lumina Foundation. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
This is Jacob Hammes with a public service message from the San Diego County Department of Animal Services. You can make a difference in a homeless pet's life by giving them a home, family, and love in August for Clear the Shelters, a month-long national effort to find caring homes for animals in shelters. The San Diego County Department of Animal Services is waiving pet adoption fees throughout the month of August to help make the dream of a forever home come true for all the pets in their care. Shelters in the county are nearly full, so the public's help is needed to find adoptive homes for pets in the shelters and make room for new animals in need of help. The department has participated in the Clear the Shelters campaign since 2016 and has adopted out 644 pets, including 302 last year. Nationally, the Clear the Shelters campaign has helped more than 860,000 pets find new homes since 2015. Last year's campaign set a new single-year record with more than 161,000 adoptions, while also raising more than $540,000 for animal shelters. Clear the Shelters is part of a campaign by NBC-owned television stations and Telemundo to find loving homes for the millions of pets who end up in the nation's shelters each year. Cities across the country take part in the event. All animals adopted from county shelters will be spayed or neutered, have vaccinations, a microchip, and a one-year license for dogs in the service area. You can visit San Diego County Animal Shelter's adoptions page to browse the beautiful and lovable animals from cats and dogs to turtles and guinea pigs available now. Animal Services staff recommend that people pick out a second and third choice too, just in case your first choice is already chosen by another person. You can also walk into local shelters 1 to 4 p.m. Tuesday through Friday and from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday and Sunday at both the South Shelter in Bonita or the North Shelter in Carlsbad. Fill out an application online to print or pick one up at the shelter. The County Department of Animal Services' top priority is providing excellent care in its shelters while finding good homes for every healthy and treatable animal. However, when shelters are full, animal fostering is another opportunity for animals to learn how to be in a home and socialize with people and other animals. You can learn more at the Department of Animal Services website, formerly called the Department of Animal Control, at sddac.org.
Our East County Magazine radio show needs volunteers, and so does our award-winning news website at eastcountymagazine.org. If you would like to help write scripts, learn reporting skills, research topics for our news team, or have an on-air voice to be the media, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617. You're listening to the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news for San Diego's inland region. Now, stay tuned for part two of the East County Magazine radio show.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
We are in a moment where there is a full-on attempt to attack hard-fought and hard-won rights and freedoms and liberty.
Vice President Kamala Harris tells those at this week's NAACP convention in Boston to be ready to defend all the civil rights movement has achieved. The gathering comes amid a rise in white supremacy and just after a Supreme Court decision against affirmative action in higher education. The group's leadership says they'll work to mobilize black voters and will join Southern congressional redistricting battles. As the Senate begins its August recess, military retirements and promotions remain stalled. Alabama Republican Senator Tommy Tuberville says he won't allow any to go through unless the Pentagon rescinds a policy that covers travel expenses to get abortions.
I've told them all along where we stood, and I'm going to stay with it. I'm not changing my mind.
The heads of the Army and Navy are slated to retire with no Senate-confirmed replacements ready. The Marine Corps is already under a temporary commandant. Senate Democrats say they plan to push Buy American policies. Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin says taxpayer dollars should support U.S.-made goods and services.
American workers should build our infrastructure with American products. It's as simple as that.
Baldwin has introduced a bill requiring country of origin labels for goods sold online. Many Democrats cite supply chain issues during the pandemic as a motivating factor. A federal judge has temporarily blocked an Arkansas law charging librarians and booksellers who provide minors with harmful or inappropriate material with a crime. Holly Dixon with the ACLU of Arkansas tells NBC it's just one of many recent attacks on civil rights.
Stifling the ability of Arkansans to access information that is relevant to or is of interest to us is un-American.
The ACLU sued, arguing the word inappropriate was undefined, and librarians could be penalized if a minor accidentally went into an adult section of the library. As the climate continues to boil, the poorest Americans are suffering through record-breaking temperatures with few defenses. New York City Mayor Eric Adams is urging caution.
Heat kills more New Yorkers every year than any other kind of extreme weather event. And access to cooling is a matter of life and death.
President Biden says additional funds will go to states to help poorer households with cooling systems and utility bills. Some say those funds only reach a fraction of the most vulnerable. With pandemic expansions coming to an end, health officials are raising concerns about large numbers of people being dropped from Medicaid rolls for paperwork errors. I'm Catherine Carley for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
Our East County Magazine radio show needs volunteers, and so does our award-winning news website at eastcountymagazine.org. If you would like to help write scripts, learn reporting skills, research topics for our news team, or have an on-air voice to be the media, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617.
Welcome to East County Magazine's Destination East County, bringing you all of the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County each week. This is Miriam Raftery
and Jacob Pamis with this week's Destination East County.
August and September events coming up in San Diego's East County will give you plenty to howl about, including tours at the California Wolf Center, Julian's Starfest, outdoor concerts in several communities, classic cruises, the Mount Helix Food and Wine Festival, and X-Fest with extreme sports, plus a concert by country music legend Crystal Gayle and a comedy show by Paula Poundstone.
California Wolf Center in Julian will host guided tours of their conservation facility to see resident wolves and learn about wolf conservation. The one-hour tours provide unique experiences that are fun for all ages as you see critically endangered wild wolves. The tours are by reservation only on August 6th at 10 a.m., 1 p.m., and 3 p.m. You can reserve online at californiawolfcenter.org.
The Julian Starfest returns August 11th through 13th. This year's festivities include a free public star party on Saturday night, August 12th, camping for tent and RV campers, astronomy games and crafts for kids, exhibits by major telescope and accessory vendors, food and beverage vendors. On Saturday only, there will also be a raffle for donated astronomy equipment, plus an optional behind-the-scenes tour of the world-famous Mount Laguna Observatory. All proceeds from this event are used to help fund the San Diego Astronomy Association's ongoing community educational efforts. You can learn more at julianstarfest.com.
The City of Lemon Grove invites you to concerts in the park each Thursday evening from 6:30 to 8 p.m. at Berry Street Park on Mount Vernon Street in Lemon Grove. The concerts run from June 29th through August 10th. Bring a blanket or lawn chair along with your own picnic or barbecue.
You're invited to don your cowboy boots and wrangle up the gang for the Mount Helix Food and Wine Festival on the evening of August 19th. This year, the event features a Wild West theme, food and wine tasting from local restaurants and beverage companies, as well as artists, live and silent auctions, live music, sunset views from atop Mount Helix, and dancing under the stars. For tickets, visit mounthelixpark.org.
Cajon Classic Cruises continue along Main Street in downtown El Cajon. The car shows are held each Wednesday from 5 to 7:30 p.m. all summer long. The city also hosts outdoor concerts in the park on Prescott Promenade in the same area along Main Street every Friday night from 6 to 8 p.m. now through September. You can also bring a picnic dinner or arrive early to dine at one of the restaurants nearby. Find a full list of weekly car show themes and the lineup of concert bands at downtownalcajon.com.
Santee officials say it's music to their ears, the city's summer concerts taking stage for outdoor concerts running every Thursday night through August 17th.
East County is hosting its first ever X-Fest full of extreme sports events. Local vendors, superstar athletes, music guest speakers, entertainment, and tons of free giveaways. It's hosted by Pathways Community Church in Santee on Saturday, August 26th from 3 to 9 p.m. East County X-Fest will also feature several car shows, motorcycle shows, and local artist galleries. For more information, visit pathways.cc/X-Fest.
Country music legend Crystal Gayle will perform at Saquon's Live and Up Close Theater on Saturday, September 9th at 8 p.m. She was inducted into the Grand Ole Opry in 2017 by her sister Loretta Lynn. Her signature songs include Don't It Make My Brown Eyes Blue, You've Been Talking in Your Sleep, When I Dream, Half the Way, and her duet with Eddie Rabbit, Just You and I. She has released over 20 number one hits and been awarded numerous times by the Grammys, the Country Music Association, the Academy of Country Music, the American Music Awards, and the American Music Operators Association. And she has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. You can get tickets at Saquon.com.
Paula Poundstone will be performing at the Magnolia in El Cajon on Friday, September 29th at 6:30 p.m. The iconic comedian has starred in several HBO specials, hosts a weekly comedy podcast, Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, and is a panelist on NPR's comedy news quiz show, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. She was the first female comic to perform stand-up comedy at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Her HBO special, Cats, Cops, and Stuff, marked the first time a female comedian won Best Comedy Special in the Cable Ace Awards. For tickets, visit concerts.livenation.com.
That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with more festivals, events, and attractions in San Diego's East County. The internet can be a double-edged sword. While it's helped spread a lot of information to all parts of the world, it has also spread misleading and sometimes false information. It's important to know the truth and avoid being misled, so fact-checking is a useful tool. Here are some tips for fact-checking information that you find online. Let's start with a hypothetical example. Say you heard a politician claim that the COVID-19 vaccine has caused scary heart problems. A good place to start your research would be to just search COVID-19 vaccine heart issues, but be careful to avoid sources that are not credible. Don't rely on somebody's blog. In general, a credible source shouldn't be a social media meme without links to sources, or a corporate site, or one containing bias. Avoid sources with a financial conflict of interest, such as relying only on a pharmaceutical company's ads about its own products, or claims about climate change funded by an oil company or a wind energy company. If the topic is a complex one, such as medicine, the sources should be backed by research or written by an expert in the field. Timeliness is also a factor, as you don't want old news or outdated research. You should use more than one source to see if the information provided by one is consistent with others. If we go back to our hypothetical, some good sources that show up are UC Davis Health, Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center, the American Heart Association, and Yale News. These articles range from September 2021 to May 2023. The UC Davis Health article is written by a doctor specializing in cardiovascular medicine or heart medicine. The Memorial Sloan piece is written by a cardiologist, a heart doctor, and the American Heart Association and Yale University articles link to credible medical sources. Each of these articles states that there is a very small risk of the heart condition myocarditis after a COVID-19 vaccination, but that the risk of the same heart problem is far greater if you get COVID-19 than it is from the vaccines, with generally much more severe outcomes among unvaccinated people who catch COVID. An easier way to check for credible sources is to use websites such as MediaBias/FactCheck and AllSides. There are also sites where you can fact-check individual stories, such as FactCheck.org, PolitiFact, AP FactCheck, and Snopes.com. These sites fact-check rumors and questionable claims, which is helpful before forwarding those memes or social media posts you find that are making outrageous or inflammatory claims. This story is based on a special report by Brenda Georges, published on eastcountymagazine.org. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
Conversation circles and book clubs focused on climate change are growing across the country, giving people an outlet to turn climate anxiety into climate action. A 2022 study from Yale University found that while most people acknowledge climate change is real, 30% say they are very worried about it, and just 37% say they discuss the issue occasionally or often. Artist Nicole Cooper says she organized an online climate conversation group to assuage her own fears about global warming.
I needed to be able to talk about just the emotional reaction that I was having. Coming together with people who take climate action, that was really inspiring.
More than 3,000 people have formed online conversation groups as part of the All We Can Save project. The Good Grief Network sponsors more than 50 climate support groups. The group Climate Awakening convenes small group conversations online that anyone can join for free. And the group We Outside focuses on people who identify as Black or queer. Inemesit Williams, who identifies as queer and Black, is a former co-leader of the Social Justice Working Group at Climate Action Network for International Educators. Williams applauds efforts to increase diversity in the conversation groups.
You can't really engage in that kind of space if you don't feel like what you have to say is going to be welcome.
Sarah Schwartz is a psychology professor at Suffolk University who researches climate anxiety. She says building community is key to addressing big, complex issues.
In the context of challenges that can seem overwhelming and insurmountable, the role of relationships and social support is huge in the difference between we can do something or, you know, let's all just hunker down and isolate in our own anxiety and paralysis.
This story was produced with original reporting from Catherine Rappin for Nexus Media News. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You are listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting from the desert to the sea.
This is Connie Beck with Ready, Set, Grow. I'm going to help you create healthy and beautiful gardens using less money, less hard work, and much more fun. I love mulch. Mulch is one of my favorite words because of what it does for us. Here in Southern California, we desperately need mulch. If you've traveled abroad, you've gone to France, you've gone to England, and you've seen that back there, they use something called dust mulch. This is where they go in with a little cultivator and they rake up a little pile of loose soil on the soil surface, and they view that as mulching. And it works for them because it rains about every 30 minutes over there. But we're in Southern California, and our sun is hot, and it blazes down. First, the definition of mulch is, it's anything that you use as a barrier between the sun and the soil. And that's probably the number one wonderful aspect of mulch. It will make your plants much happier. They will grow better because they won't be going through a constant cycle of I'm wet, now I'm hot, now I'm dry, now I'm wet. So the mulch is the blanket that provides a much more serene landscape for your plants. They will be much happier without going through the constant wet, dry, wet, dry, wet, dry cycle. You will also find that it will help your water bill because the mulch will help you stretch out between waterings. When you change and start using 3 inches of mulch, yes, 3 inches of mulch on your plants, you will find that you don't need to water nearly so often. Plants that you had to water every third or fourth day may go a week very easily between waterings. That's certainly going to be helpful. But there are other things that mulch does too. I've seen those gardens in France and England because I love to travel. But when I come home, I have no interest in spending another month weeding. That's not my idea of fun at all. The mulch makes it so that I don't need to weed all the time. 3 inches of mulch means that very few weeds are going to come up. You can pull the ones that do come up very easily because they're wimpy and they have weak stems. You can do it just by bending over and jerking them out of the ground. Now, this does take a little work up front. If you have a half an acre of weeds right now, you have to get down to bare ground before you put the mulch on them. So you will need a hula hoe, and hopefully you can then rake up the stuff and make it go away because it's going to be old dry weeds full of weed seeds. If you're doing this in the early part of the year when those weeds are still green, those make great compost additions for your compost barrel. Now, once you've got the bare ground, either around your existing garden or starting from scratch, put down 3 inches of mulch. The mulch can be either organic or inorganic. I personally do not care much for putting down weed barrier underneath things. When I put down mulch, I put it on the bare ground. People who are insecure about that could put down 4 to 6 layers of newspaper, and that would be good. Whatever you do, don't put down black plastic. Don't let anybody talk you into putting plastic underneath your mulch, because the black plastic is going to tear and the edges are going to come up. Soon, within 2 or 3 years, you will have these lovely pieces of black plastic floating around your landscape. This is not something that most of us want to see. What is the mulch? You can get leftover tree prunings. You can get leaves that you've run through a shredder. You can go buy wonderful mulch at either the Sycamore or the Miramar landfill. You can use whatever you have for mulch. You can also do inorganic mulches. You can put down half-inch gravel. You can put down pea gravel. You can buy bark. There are so many choices that you can use. My favorite mulch of all time is called Gorilla Hair. Gorilla Hair is redwood that has, it's the leftovers from when they mill the redwood. And so it binds together beautifully. It's kind of a rusty color, which is why it has the name Gorilla Hair. And it lasts a long time. It's great for use on slopes. Try it. You'll like it.
This is Jacob Hammes with a public service message from the San Diego County Department of Animal Services. You can make a difference in a homeless pet's life by giving them a home, family, and love in August for Clear the Shelters, a month-long national effort to find caring homes for animals in shelters. The San Diego County Department of Animal Services is waiving pet adoption fees throughout the month of August to help make the dream of a forever home come true for all the pets in their care. Shelters in the county are nearly full, so the public's help is needed to find adoptive homes for pets in the shelters and make room for new animals in need of help. The department has participated in the Clear the Shelters campaign since 2016 and has adopted out 644 pets, including 302 last year. Nationally, the Clear the Shelters campaign has helped more than 860,000 pets find new homes since 2015. Last year's campaign set a new single-year record with more than 161,000 adoptions, while also raising more than $540,000 for animal shelters. Clear the Shelters is part of a campaign by NBC-owned television stations and Telemundo to find loving homes for the millions of pets who end up in the nation's shelters each year. Cities across the country take part in the event. All animals adopted from county shelters will be spayed or neutered, have vaccinations, a microchip, and a one-year license for dogs in the service area. You can visit San Diego County Animal Shelter's adoptions page to browse the beautiful and lovable animals from cats and dogs to turtles and guinea pigs available now. Animal Services staff recommend that people pick out a second and third choice too, just in case your first choice is already chosen by another person. You can also walk into local shelters 1 to 4 p.m. Tuesday through Friday and from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday and Sunday at both the South Shelter in Bonita or the North Shelter in Carlsbad. Fill out an application online to print or pick one up at the shelter. The County Department of Animal Services' top priority is providing excellent care in its shelters while finding good homes for every healthy and treatable animal. However, when shelters are full, animal fostering is another opportunity for animals to learn how to be in a home and socialize with people and other animals. You can learn more at the Department of Animal Services website, formerly called the Department of Animal Control, at sddac.org.
In the good old summertime, in the good old summertime, strolling through the shady lanes with your baby mine. You hold her hand and she holds yours, and that's a very good sign that she's your tootsie wootsie in the good old summertime.
With summer just around the corner, the County of San Diego has opened its annual Cool Zones program, giving people free, safe, air-conditioned sanctuaries to escape extreme heat. The county created the Cool Zone program 2 decades ago to give older adults, people with disabilities, and those with health concerns that could be complicated by effects of extreme heat. The program will run from June 1st through October 31st. Sites include the county's 33 branch libraries, community centers, and other locations across the county, including here in East County. A complete list of Cool Zone sites, hours, and locations is located online at coolzones.org. That site includes a map where you can type in your address and find locations near you. You can also call 211 to find a location, or if you can't get to a Cool Zone, you can even ask for help with free transportation. Extreme heat can be very dangerous for older adults and children especially, and everybody is recommended to shelter in cool locations when the temperature gets too hot. Working or exercising outside on a hot day or staying in a hot space too long can cause heat-related illnesses from cramps to exhaustion to heat stroke, a condition when the body can no longer control its own temperature. Signs of heat stroke or exhaustion include having an extremely high body temperature, 103 degrees or higher, dizziness, nausea, confusion, and headache. Anybody suffering those symptoms should call 911 and be cooled off immediately. Now, in addition to providing cool zone locations, the county, working with San Diego Gas and Electric, is now providing free electric fans to older or disabled San Diegans living on limited incomes. To be eligible for the fan program, county residents must be 60 years or older or disabled, living on a limited income, must not have access to an air-conditioned space at their home or apartment building, and be unable to travel to a cool zone site. To learn more about the Cool Zone Fan Program or to request a fan, you can call 211 or visit coolzones.org. The Cool Zone Program is operated by the County Health and Human Services Agency. For more information about the Cool Zones Program, as well as tips to stay cool at home and locations near you, again, that website is coolzones.org. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
Fire management needs to evolve to attract young professionals, according to a new youth-led organization called Fire Generation Collaborative. FireGen's leaders are all college students or recent grads who want to change the way society approaches the field. Co-founder Kyle Trefney says we need to stop seeing fire as the enemy.
We have a strong fear of fire. It's a little bit misguided because fire has been a natural part of our landscapes for thousands of years, and it's been managed in safe and healthy ways traditionally by Indigenous people.
FireGen advocates for more prescribed fires and Indigenous cultural burns to get the benefits of burning while mitigating some of the risks and impacts. Tim Inglesby is an instructor at the University of Oregon who runs the group Firefighters United for Safety and Ecology.
What we really are trying to promote is a paradigm shift in fire management, away from reactive firefighting and more proactive fire management. So we're really working with fire instead of fighting against it constantly.
The group recently traveled to Washington, D.C. to meet with lawmakers and express support for youth advisory councils at federal agencies within the U.S. Forest Service and the Department of the Interior. Last year, the Forest Service said it was short more than 25% of the workforce it needed heading into fire season. And federal data show that wildland firefighters are more than 80% male and 70% white. Ayuthia LaPierre is FireGen's communications director.
So fire generation is focusing on ways to make sure that the fire field, especially in terms of workforce development, has parity and makes sense to have a career in. Oftentimes careers in fire are very short-lived. They have a large impact on your body. They tend to be really, really exclusionary towards people of marginalized genders.
FireGen calls on community colleges in fire-prone areas to train more young people on best practices for prescribed burns and fire resiliency. This story was produced with original reporting from Colleen Haggerty for Nexus Media News and the site Reasons to be Cheerful. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
This concludes today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Royalty Free Music, and Pond 5. If you would like to underwrite or sponsor the East County Magazine Radio Show, or get involved as a volunteer on our public interest news show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. We'll be back soon with another edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show.